It's hard for me to speak. I had a little bit of laryngitis, but I know when I come into this room, I know that the Chev is listening much louder than in most places. So there's an Indian that I want to talk about for a few minutes that's negated to every minute of our lives. We're living through these parashiyas that we're in now, and the Torah seems to be so caught up in the very thing that you and I, over the years as we grow, are trying to be less impressed by, less involved with, meaning ashirus aisha, big day covered. Luciferus, big day kodesh, covered Luciferus, all of the wealth, the silver, the gold of these parashiyos, the big day kohuna, the kelim of the Mishkan itself, and the whole sugya of covered and teferis. It's hard for us to understand that in the context of all of the stories that we've heard about the most beautiful Jews being davke, simple Jews, and everything to be b'hatznei aleches, to be with humility and with pashtus and sweet and simple and so on. And we know so many wonderful stories of tzaddikim that live that way. And the Mishnah says, "No, it's kach hidargus shel Torah. This is the way of Torah." Pas b'malach toichal, magad mesura tishtal, al haretz tishan, chay tzar tichya, a little bread, a little water, sleep on the floor, chay tzar tichya, to live a life of spiritual meaning, not chay tzar, not physical things, ashurecha, alam hazeh, alam haba. It's very hard to understand all of this kesef, zahav, and nechoshes in light of what we're aspiring to become and what we care about, what we're trying to think about, what we're trying to make important in our lives. And that we davke read these parashiyas during this time of the year. We davke during the month, and this year the months of Simcha, of Mishnechtes Adam Av Nesimcha. The davka, these parashiyos of Truma, Tetzava, part of Kisisa, then we return again in Vayakel and Fakude. Everything's about having, about wealth and about gold and silver. So if it was just a matter of our shuls and our yeshivas to make them as beautiful as possible, L'roimim, Beis Elokeinu, that there's an Indian in Halacha to elevate the beauty of the house of Hashem, and that's an extension of the mitzvah of Zakeli Vanveyu, of Hidda mitzvah. And however we defined Hidda mitzvah, a beautiful talus, a beautiful tefillin, a beautiful sefer Torah, a beautiful besamedrash, a beautiful shul. Anybody who reads the Torah and who lives with the parashiyos and the honest way knows that there's something else that's going on over here. Besides, Chazal themselves made an extraordinary promise. Chazal say, "The kol hamakayim is a Torah mi'oini, soifel lekayim mi'oisha." It means that if you persevere and you push yourself and you learn Torah despite the physical deprivation, the poverty, if you push yourself and you moist an effort, so Chazal said, "Soifa lekayim mi'oish." In the end, you'll be mekayim the Torah mi'oish. You'll be able to learn Torah and to live a life of Torah, but not to be poor, not to feel deprived. So the pashas of that Chazal, "Soifa lekayim mi'oish," is that. That's l'chadchila, that's better. In the beginning, you're poor. But if you're a good boy, and you continue to learn, then soif l'kayim mi'oisha, then you'll be rich. richer, you'll be comfortable. Me'oisha. That means that there's an adifus, there's a preference. Soifu l'kai me'oisha. It's not like everybody's sitting around and saying, I'm afraid of getting rich. Maybe what's going to happen if I learn, I might end up having an Aisha. I don't hear people talking like that. So there is some sort of an ideal of getting to that, of getting to the gold. I know now is the Olympics, I don't know if it's still going on, the gold, the silver, the copper, the bronze, whatever. There is such an ideal of winning the gold. I'm a kaim satoyim, you're earning, sorry for the kaim Aisha. If you work hard, you'll be able to reach that point of wealth. You'll come to learn Torah with wealth. There's a tachlis like that. I think it's okay to learn a little bit Lukut Amaran in this room. It's okay. You all right with that, guys? You don't look like Misnagim. Misnagim are not so happy. They seem to be too happy for this. There's a very long Torah, Nun Vav. The Torah is of Yom HaBikurim. So Torah is going on Shulas, but it's filled with Purim. It's filled with Purim. I think the connection between Purim and Shulas is Purim is Kima V'Kibla. It's the completion of Maimon HaSinai, if Kabbalah Satar is Purim, Kima V'Kibla. If we'd be able to learn Torah the right way, it would take a long time. But it's important, a little bit, a few words. And then if you have a chance, take a look. Ki yesh b'kol echad Yisrael b'chinas malchus, Rav Nachman begins. Yesh b'kol echad b'Yisrael b'chinas malchus. There's a b'china of malchus, of royalty, in each and every Jew. Yesh b'kol echad m'Yisrael b'chinas malchus. If we would understand that in the deepest way, we would never ever do anything that's not malchustic. We would never behave in a way that's unbecoming for royalty. Every Jew has a b'chin of malchus. B'kol echad l'fi b'chinoso ken yesh lo b'chinas malchus. And Rabbi Nachman goes on to discuss different types of malchus, different ways that the malchus is manifested in a Jew's life. But every Jew has a b'chin of malchus. That's every Jew. There's Galia and there's Kasia that he talks about in Ois Aleph. In Ois Beis and Seif Beis, Rabbi Nachman says a very, very important warning and disclaimer. B'tzara kol echad levli lehishtamish in b'chinais ha-malchus yeish loy lehanosei letzarchai. The malchus that God gave each person, the royalty that God gave each and every one of us, we have to be careful not to use its time to indulge in order to indulge in the pleasures of this world, to use it in a selfish way. Malchus. Because we see that what often happens, almost always happens in the world, there are very few exceptions in world history, that the melech becomes the biggest eved, right? The king who has everything he wants, who's the person who is in control, davke, those individuals throughout history have become the biggest slaves to their taivas, to their desires. The biggest avadim. It says in Pasuk, Eved ki yimlach. Chazal said on Hordus, such a lashon. It's a Pasuk, Eved ki yimlach. That be'etzem you're a slave. You're working as a king. But the king has not, that position of royalty hasn't lifted you above your taivas, adarabah. It's intensified. Your true nature of being a slave to these divers. shlotia b'chinas ha-malchus etzlo ke'eved l'malus ta'avos. That this inyan of malchus that you have, you and I have, this inyan of malchus, that it shouldn't chalila become like an eved, just to fill the ta'ataiva, desire. V'akshetia b'chinas ha-malchus b'chinas ben-chayrin. And Menachem says that this b'china of malchus should be ben-chayrin, free. To free you, to make you the person that's great, that's in control. That's what real malchus is. That's what real royalty is. And maybe Nachum later, a little bit later on in place, hey, there's a lot in between. But later on, Rabbi Nachman says, "Ukineged malchus de kedusha yes malchus harishah." Just like there's a malchus of holiness, there's a malchus of rishus, of tumma, of evil. Hainu malchus haman amalek. The malchus harishah is the malchus of haman and amalek. What's the meaning of the malchus of rishus? So the Nachman says, I'm skipping a little bit. Menachem says, "O Malchus, the Sitrach, who Maasef Mamayin." The main characteristic of the Malchus, of the side of Tuma, is an obsession with wealth. Maasef Mamayin. I remember years ago there was a dictator's Rebbetzin in South America. It's not important to mention her name in a holy place. But the government, when she was overthrown, they were overthrown. They found she had thousands and thousands of pairs of shoes. I mean, I have a home. You know, I raised six daughters in my house. I know what it means to trip over shoes and stuff like that. I know what it means to have a lot of shoes. But this was something. They came out like, and you understand, her whole malchus, the whole country, they don't have what to eat over there. And here, this lady. And the next president of the United States, Chalila, Hillary Clinton, she also has a nice shoe collection. The Malchus of Rishus is an inyan of being Ma'asif Mammon, gathering, hoarding wealth. This is a very deep reason, I'll pick up all the why that is. It's not important for now. Kehem b'chinas ha'gvan in ilan she'esh b'zoha v'kesef v'nachayshas. The malchus of Haman and Amalek, of Achashverosh, the meshuga, the crazy, to get as much kesef, zav, and achashis. You know, what are they going to do with it? Even if they would every single day, they'd spend, they wouldn't be able to spend it. There wouldn't be enough places or enough ways to spend all of this money. V'zeh b'chinas taivas ashiris, she b'chinas malchus. So we have the malchus of kedusha, the malchus of kedusha, where a person is in control of himself, where a person has zahav, kesef, and achayshes, and knows how to use those gifts of Hashem in the right way, and it's not that he's hoarding it in order to indulge in his taivas to become a bigger eved, but he uses it in order to give to others. And for other reasons that we'll talk about in a minute. This is the Malchus of the Sitrachra of Achashverosh and Haman versus the Malchus of Mordechai and Esther. And Rabbi Nachman brings the Gemara in Megillah. Kilo Adam brings the Pasuk in Kehelas. Kilo Adam should toiv lefan of Nasan Chachma Vadas is a Mordechai, Hainush a Mordechai who begins Malchus the Kedusha. The Mordechai is the Bechina of Malchus of Kedusha, of Holiness. Mordechai is the Malchus of Kedusha. Vos l'chof mevedas, v'zet toiv l'fonav, b'chinas ha-toyr, k'ein toiv l'toyr, v'lachoytei, and to the sinner, v'lachoytei, nosan inyan l'esayf v'lichnais. The sinner, he has this inyan, l'esayf v'lichnais, just gathering more wealth. L'esayf v'lichnais, more and more and more and more. Chazal say, Zahaman. Hainu Shahaman, Ubchin is Malchus de Sitrach. Vu Ma'asef Mammon Kanal. That's Haman. Ma'asef Mammon. We see this at the very beginning of the Megillah, the Inyan of Achashverosh, the whole Inyan of Achashverosh in the beginning is Baharoisa, Yes Oisha, Kvod Malchusai, Vesikar, Teferos Gedulasai. The Megillah opens with Achashverosh's display of unbelievable wealth. Unbelievable wealth. Baharoisa, Yes Oisha, Kvod Malchusai, Yikar, Teferos Gedulasai. Now we know, Chazal tell us, Barichas, the kind of disgusting things that were going on at that party, and the way that Ahasuerus used his wealth. Later on, by Haman also says, by Haman, V'yisapra lahem Haman is Kvaid Oishvai, Rav Banav. V'yisapra lahem Haman is Rav Oishvai, Kvaid Oishvai, V'rav Banav. And Haman, who was about to experience the v'nahafechu of Shushan Habira, Haman also, Kvaid Oishrei, Kvaid Oishrei, Oishrei, Oishrei. And when you and I look at the world, and the world that we're living in, although it's nothing new, but in many ways it's more intense than ever before, you could sum up all of Western civilization as being Kairim u'mishtachavim l'haman. Kairim u'mishtachavim l'haman. We don't have Haman walking around anymore, this person Haman. But the ideology of Haman, of the Malchus Arisha, the Malchus of the Sitrach, which is Lasoif v'lichnais, Oishe k'void Malchusai, the inyan of gathering more and more and more wealth, and the person's success being measured by how high or how low he is on the Forbes 500 of the wealthiest people in America or the world, I don't know. Bechlal, the whole definition of success, the definition of success is the way we see at the beginning of Megillas Esther, and what people use and what they want to use this money for. There was one Jew in Shushan who didn't bend down to that. It's a Mordechai lo yichor v'lo yishtachav. Mordechai lo yichor v'lo yishtachav. And therefore we see the most unbelievable thing. Part of the v'nahafaychu, part of the reversal, the amazing reversal that took place by Purim, is that all of the ashiris of Haman and of Ahasuerus, all of that spectacular wealth of Haman, of Ahasuerus, came originally from the oitzvahs of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, Haman wasn't really Malchus. Ahasuerus wasn't really Malchus. Kisheves HaMelech Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus wasn't really Malchus. He's what we call in Yiddish a Tzige Kimener. Tzige Kimener means he married into it. It wasn't his. He was a nobody. Haman, we also know, was a nothing. A Gornish Megornish. A nobody. A nothing. Because we know his background. It's a nobody. Where was the wealth? The wealth came like this. It was Gnevas and Gzeilas from the Beis HaMikdash. And Chazal say that when it says in Pasuk, Baharois is Kvod Malchusai, all the wealth of the Malchus, when it describes Oisha Kvod Malchusai, Yikar Tiferes Gdoloso, the Lashon of Kvod and Tiferes we find by the Big Day Kuhuna, by the Klei HaMishkan. And Chazal tell us that Ahasuerus took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash that they stole, that they had from Nebuchadnezzar, that's his wife's family. He brought out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. All gzeilus, all stolen. So what's the biggest v'nahafechu? The v'nahafechu, that at the end of the story of the Megillah, at the end of the story of Purim, all of this wealth is brought back into the world of the Malchus of Kedusha, of Mordechai and Esther. Vatosim Esther is Mordechai al Beis Haman. Vatosim Esther is Mordechai al Beis Haman. Esther gave over to Mordechai all of Beis Haman, all of Haman, all that Haman owned. And when it describes in the Megillah of Mordechai Yotzim, Lefnei HaMelech, Bilavush, Malchus, Tchelus, Vachor, and so on, everybody who's ever learned a little Chumash and has lived through these parashiyos knows and feels that we're talking about big day, Kodesh, Kovod L'Seferis, Bilavush, that it says in Pasuk, Bilavush, Malchus, Tchelus, Vachor, and so on. Royal garments, Levush Malchus, that Mordechai went out, Levush Malchus, that means that the Malchus HaRishah, the Malchus of evil, of Amalek, of Haman Achashverosh, stole, just like we hear now every day on the news, there's another work, another piece of art that we're trying to reclaim, that the Germans stole, or the French stole, and the Swiss stole from Jews in Europe before they sent them off to concentration camp. Not millions, not hundreds of millions, billions of dollars of art that was stolen from Jews. Billions of dollars. That if the Nazis and Maximum of Germany would be paying compensation, if they'd be paying for the next 2,000 yovels, they wouldn't touch the amount of what they stole from our parents and grandparents. The story of Purim ends with all of the money being returned, given back. With it being given back, I'm saying all this transfer of funds from Amalek, from Haman, of Atosim Esther, Es Mordechai al Beis Haman. It means the Klei HaMikdash, it means the Big Day Kuhuna, which are described as the covered Ulusiferis. Everything goes back to the Malchus of Kedusha. Everything is returned to the Malchus of Kedusha. And now we come to the Yesod HaDavar to understand. And why Davka we read these parashiyos now. And how important it is to live with this teaching of Rabbi Nachman every minute of our lives. It says in the Svarim bring down, but he really goes back. You see, it's even in the Machzor, it's printed in the Machzor, that Mammon is the Gematria Sulam. The Gematria Sulam. Sulam is a ladder. Mammon is the Gematria Sulam. And the Svarim talk about why is that. There's a Sulam, a ladder. The ladder that we're most familiar with is what Yaakov saw in his dream. Sulam Mutzav Arza V'Roisha Megiha Shemaima V'Malach Elokim Oilem V'Yardim Bay. That the sulam, or the foot of the ladder, was deep, deep into the ground. But the top of the ladder was reaching, ascending to the highest place in Shemai. The malach elokim ha'olim v'yardim ba. The malachim are going up and down. Olim v'yardim ba. So if Mammon is called a sulam, it means, like every ladder, the bottom of the ladder is in the lowest place. It's in the schmutz, in the dirt, in the filth. That's the malchus of Achashverosh, of Haman. That's the Malchus HaRishah, is Taivis Mammon. It's Taivis Mammon, the desire to accumulate Lesayf V'lichnais, to accumulate more and more wealth. Some of you are going to be hearing talks and classes, and different classes in school and in graduate school, like cheering you on and encouraging you to enroll in the Bis Medrash of Achashverosh and of Haman. Lesayf V'lichnais. Lesayf V'lichnais. So the bottom of the ladder is rooted in the filth and the schmutz of this world, and the money is used for all the most disgusting things of the world. Rosh HaMegi HaShemayim Yesh L'Kol Yehudi B'chinas Malchus, Rav Nachman said. The top of the ladder is in the heavens. Why is it that the Mishkan was filled with gold and silver? That's the question we began with. What is this business of the Beis HaMikdash? It's an expensive place. It's an expensive place. It's hard for us to afford such a place. What is it that the Baruch Shalom wanted with this? So the many tzaddikim talk about this. Rav Shlomo Shaval Herzeg of Tzadik Mevorcher, and other tzaddikim explain in a very simple and clear way. Rav Shlomo Shaval Herzeg talks about the fact that the Torah says that we're not allowed to have an animal that's a balmum, that has a blemish, whatever the blemish, according to Halacha, that disqualifies it for being brought into Beis HaMikdash as a carbon. A Kohen can't be a balmum. So we could ask the same question. So what's wrong? An animal's a balmum. Okay. So why does that disqualify for the Beis HaMikdash? And if the Kohen is a balmum, can you imagine how that would go over nowadays in our loving, pluralistic society, how that would go over it, to say that people who have certain physical handicaps, that they're disqualified from the Beis HaMikdash? Could you imagine how it would go over now? Well, I once got into such trouble, around 30 years ago, I was giving a talk someplace in a big shul. And I was telling a ma'ase from Divrei Chaim, and I mentioned that the Divrei Chaim was crippled. I said the Divrei Chaim was a cripple. I said a cripple, that's how we called when I was a kid, we called a cripple. We also called mentally disabled people retarded. But I wasn't 100% caught up with the times. And after the Shia, a lady came over there. She is in a wheelchair. I felt terrible. She was there, and they brought her in, and she said, "I want to thank you for embarrassing me in front of 500 people. I said, "What did I do?" She said, "You said cripple. When you spoke about the Divrei Chaim, you said cripple." I said, "Well, he was. I don't know what to say. I don't know what should I say." She said, "Crippled?" She said, "The word is handicapped, or disabled, or challenged." We're living in a crazy world. I'm all for sensitivities, don't get me wrong. And I felt bad about that. I apologized, but she left. She was so angry. She didn't forgive me. The world that we're living in. So what's wrong with bringing a disabled, I don't want to say crippled, a handicapped, challenged animal? What's wrong with a coin being physically challenged? What's wrong with a coin being physically challenged? Other rather, again, we had tzaddikim that they extolled the virtue of poverty and of pashtus, right? That's what we began with the question. Yeah? So what? If a kohen is a balmum, they would say nowadays we need to what? Embrace him. That's the word they use also, these people. We have to embrace all the balimum. We have to reach out to the balimum. So what's wrong with the coin? So listen to what Shlomo Shaval Herzeg says. He says such a clear thing. There are other tzaddikim, but the way he said it, it's very clear. Shlomo Shaval Herzeg says that the Torah doesn't want Jews to think that Yiddishkeit is a religion if it's a brachne kelim. Religion is the opium of the masses, of people who are broken, who are sick, who come limping into the temple to find some refuge and atonement. Rav Shlomo Shaval Herzeg says that the Beis HaMikdash was dafka built beroiv pe'er v'kovet noisnum l'shmai. Tzahol v'erina l'zecha malchusai. Malchus is pe'er v'kovet. Splendor and beauty and joy and health. Of course, the Torah acknowledges and recognizes all of the difficulties that we have being in this world. The Torah is telling us, "Behold, it's a Kol Yisrael. There's a Bechina of Malchus." You know, there was once a Rebbe, the Visioner, and the Holy Visioner lived in Malchus. He had a palace, and he went with white horses and gold wagon, and he had slippers that were made from gold. When he died, they found broken pieces of glass inside of his slipper. He used to walk on broken glass. But they saw what they saw. Covered in seferis. Yiddishkeit is not saying to a Jew l'chadchila that in order to serve God, you have to live in a way that's broken. You have to be poor, you have to be miserable. I was always against taking, like they take kids on Shabbatons, they used to take them to these neighborhoods. Like, so there was, years ago when I was teaching, they would always take them to Farakway, to these like three-bedroom apartment that had mouse traps in every corner. You know, and you see cockroaches by Kiddush. And I used to say, I said to them, don't take them here. Take them also to some houses in Back Lawrence. Well, you have to just take them to these places. You're taking them to the homes to say to them, Chai Yitzai Techia, Pasma Melach Teichal, Maim Besura Tishta. It's the last time they're going to ever want to keep Shabbos, these kids. What about Kol Mekayim Torah Me'ayin Yisayf L'Kayim Me'ayishim? That to be a Jew means to have a life that's filled with chen, with pe'er, with kavod. For a Jew to be able to walk up straight. The original wanted to teach Jews that they should be proud that they're B'nai Melachim. That they're B'nai Melachim. When a person is in a place that's beautiful, it's ma'ir in him a feeling of hispilus, of excitement. When you go to a beautiful garden, when you go to the botanical gardens, when you go to a beautiful place, a beautiful mansion, a palace, it's ma'ir a feeling of malchus, of godless. And there are tzaddikim like the vision of that day that they had on Hanhaga like that, and the Randall of Vitebska. There are other tzaddikim that the mahalach was not like that. It's true. And you know, there's an issyonis of wealth, there's an issyonis of poverty, and there's some Jews that their inyan is dafka to go through the issyonis of poverty and to be good Jews, and there are other Jews who have to go through the issyon of wealth, which in many ways is much greater than the issyon of poverty, and to be able to be oved Hashem. But what Rav Shamshal Hirsch is saying is that malchus, the beginning of malchus. So we understand. The Davka during the month of Adar, during this time of the year, we read these parashiyas of the beauty of Am Yisrael. The parashiyas of Truma Tetzaveh, part of Kisisa, and Vayakel and Pekudei. But that's exactly why Kisisa is in the middle. Because Kisisa tells us how a Jew who has money and who has silver and gold can very easily slip into the Malchus of Haman and Achashverosh. Because what happened in Parash Kisisa, no? What happened to Kisisa? The Eglazot. The golden calf. It's very easy to slip into the Eglazot. It's very easy. Tivus Maman. Beis Haman. Achashverosh. It's very easy. So you have the Parashiyos of Truma Tetzaveh. Everything is about wealth and beauty. A Jew comes into the Mishkan, Acha Mechai. To be a Jew means to be a Ben Melech. Malchus, Malchus. But the Bnei Shalom says, like the Benachim said at the beginning, but don't become an Eved. What happened to us? These Zohar, Chazal say, Rashi brings to the beginning of Sefer Devarim, that we had a Taina, Hashem, you gave us all of the gold, all the spoils that when you left Mitzrayim, you gave us all of the wealth, and now you have a time that we use it to build an Egel Azor, to build a golden calf. What do you want from us? Mayasa ben v'leyachta, the Gemara in the fifth part in Brochus. Mayasa ben v'leyachta. What do you want? You tie a little pouch of money on the, you put it onto the necklace of a good-looking guy, and you put him in front of a place of that's not nice. We could spend his money in disgusting ways. Mayasa ben v'leyach. What do you want? What do you think he's going to use the zahav for? So in the middle of all the parashiyas of the holy use of wealth, of malchus, of Mordechai and Esther, of that way of using wealth, in the middle of all of those parashiyas, we have parashiyas Kisisa, which is the Egel HaZahav. And the Egel HaZahav is saying, what could happen to a Jew if you become an Eved Ki Yimloich, Tivus Maman? There's nothing that's more disgusting than Tivus Maman. There's nothing more disgusting than Lassof Lichnas, to hoard money and to depend on your wealth in order to make yourself into a knacker, to somebody, a big shot or a knacker. Probably where you live, there's somebody in Shul where you are. You have some people that they're rich people in the way that they act, in the way they're not Chashomol, but there's people like that. Lassof Lichnas, Achashverish Diki. People, Hashem Yirachim. Less of your lichnas, kilo, there's an ideal in a Jew being rich. The ideal is a Jew being a part of the Malchus, the Kedusha. For some Jews, it's easier not having money. For other Jews, it's easier when they have money. But to be in the Malchus, the Kedusha, to serve the Baruch Shalom in a way of Oysher, and covered in Teferis, and Chayim, and it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful to be an Eved Hashem. That's what it means to be an Eved Hashem. Let me tell you a story, a Ben Hafech story. You could decide on your own whether you think it's a good ending or it's a bad ending of the story. There was a, we were learning a little bit from Rabbi Nachman, there was a very holy breast of a chassid who was killed in the Holocaust. His name was Rabbi Yitzhak Breiter. Rav Yitzchak Breit, he lived in Poland. He was a very, very holy person, Rav Yitzchak Breit. He was a real fiery Bas Lever. And Rav Yitzchak Breit was also a man of means. He was wealthy. He was very wealthy. He owned a shoe factory. I think it was in Warsaw, if I'm not mistaken. But definitely in Poland, but he was in the shoe business, in the shoe factory. And he was very wealthy. This Rav Yitzchak Breit, every day he used to give a talk between Mincha Maariv and Shul. He used to learn a little bit Lakutei Sichus. He used to learn a little bit Rabbi Nachman with the Chavim between Mincha Maariv. And of course, as a real Breslover, every Shmuz was about Amunah, Simcha. Sometimes it was Simcha and Amunah. Amunah, Simcha, Bitochen. Sometimes Bitochen, Simcha, Amunah. Right? But everything was Amunah, Simcha, Bitochen. Amunah, Simcha, Bitochen. So there was an old Jew that davened in the shul. And he had bad feelings about these talks between Mincha Maariv. And he used to think to himself, Shkoyach, Rav Yitzchak Breit, if I would own a shoe factory, I would also give talks on Emunah Bitachon, and I would also be smiling all the time and happy if I owned a shoe factory. What is Rav Yitzchak Breit know from Jews like me? That I have to fight to be able to have a piece of herring on a shoe factory. My kids don't have what to eat. So he's giving shmuzen to us on Emunah Bitachon. He used to think this. And he used to a little bit talk to some of the guys about this. So that was when a half echo that there was a fire and Yitzchak Breit's entire factory burnt down to the ground. His whole livelihood was destroyed. Everything was gone. So now this old Jew was going to Mincha Maariv. It was still smoldering. The fire yet wasn't even out. So this old Jew was going to Mincha Maariv and he was thinking to himself, I'm sorry what happened to Yitzchak, but now let's see what kind of shmuz he gives on Emunah Bitachon and Simcha, let's see. And sure enough, between Mincha Maariv, everybody knew what happened. Rav Yitzchak gets up. Again, the house is still smoking. The factory is still on fire. Rav Yitzchak gets up and it's the same Rav Yitzchak. Simcha, Emunah Bitachon, Simcha, Simcha, smiling and happy. So now the old man is pretty impressed, you know. This is something serious. So afterwards, he goes over and he apologizes and he says to Yitzchak, I asked for mechila because I always listened to your shmuz and I felt like it wasn't right that you're telling us about being happy. You have so much wealth, but I don't understand now. I see that you're real, but I don't understand how's it possible for you to be so happy. The place is still on fire, it's still going. He has nothing, there's his whole life. So listen to Rav Yitzchak Breit's answer. Chavar, I think that you can remember this till 120, this answer of Rav Yitzchak Breit. It's very important. It's very, very important. Rav Yitzchak Breit said, there are certain parts of davening where we're supposed to stand, where we have to stand. And there are other parts of davening where we sit. So the halacha is concerned with a situation where a person is supposed to stand, but he's leaning on a shtender, right? He's leaning on something. He's leaning on a shtender. So what's the din? Is that called standing, or is it called sitting? It's not clear. So it's a lebedik inyan in halacha. The maskana is the following. It depends. If he's leaning on that shtender so hard, if he's depending on that shtender so much, that if you would pull it out, the guy would fall down, that means that he's not really standing. But if you would pull out the shtender, he's only leaning on it a little bit, and if you would pull it away, he'd still be standing, then it means that he's called standing. It's called standing. So Yitzchak Breit says, but the Baruch Shalom just took the shtender away from me. That was my factory. That's my wealth. That's my Oisha. Oh Hashem, I was never leaning on it so heavily. It wasn't my life. I was never leaning on it in such a way. And now that it's been taken away from me, oh Hashem, you see I'm standing. that's the difference between the Malchus of Kedusha and the Malchus of Rishon. You can give speeches about this all day, but God forbid when something happens, when you're stuck, all of a sudden takes the wrong turn, or something happens with the Parnas, or something happens that you wanted a certain taiva, and you can't have that taiva, then we find out whether or not you were part of the Malchus of Kedusha, you were part of the Malchus of Mordechai and Esther, you were part of the Malchus of Achashverosh and Haman. Then we find out whether or not you're wearing the Big Day Kohuna, or whether or not you're parading as Achashverosh wearing the Big Day Kohuna. Who are you? Who are you? We only know who we are when Lo Aleinu, when the Shtem is taken away. So Hashem Spark should be Mechazik, each and every one of us. The reason I gave this talk is because one of the chaver asked me last week that there's the Indian of Histadlis and being pulled by the parents, being pushed very, very much to stop learning so much and to get more involved and to try to figure out how to make a lot of money and to use the time. But these Diburim, they come from that place. It's people that mean well, and that it's important a little bit to talk about this Indian. Mishnechnas Adam Abne Simcha. Adam means a lashon of deer, like it's brought out in Marinayim and this one. That our simcha is when we're able to build a beautiful deer of Hashem. And when we build a beautiful deer of Hashem that's of gold and silver and copper and bronze, and we decorate it with all of the metals of our lives, and we help other Jews live beautiful Jewish lives, so then it means that the house of Haman was given to us. Time is coming, it will be soon, Bez Hashem, we're going to see. Every single penny that was ever taken from Am Yisrael is going to be given back. And not just the money, the mammon, but all the koiches that have been taken from us over the long years of Golus should be given back to us. And on that day, there'll be the biggest v'nahafecho, Ashi Yishlatu Ayhudim, Hema B'Sineyim, the Gula Shem V'Amitis Amen V'Amen.